Blog Talk Radio.
Today we are going to be talking with author Dave Stanton. I want to thank you, however, wherever, whenever you listen to the show. It's always great to have you. Every time I hear that beginning of that song, I always want to scream rock and roll from one of my favorite albums, Ozzy Osbourne Tribute with Randy Rose, and that's the beginning of the album, and it gets me excited. So we're excited to be able to be on the show and join you today. Remember to check out SuspenseRadioNetwork.com for more information on this and all the other shows that we have on the network. Tomorrow Beyond the Cover will be on, and we'll be doing more Thriller Fest interviews for you, even though it is Labor Day. So let's hit it now with our first guest. He is author Dave Stanton. Like we said, he is on tour with PartnersInCrimeTours.net. His latest book is called Dark Ice, a gripping suspense book. And so, hey, Dave, we want to thank you for coming on. How are you doing?
Great, John. Thanks for having me.
So let's get into it. Dark Ice, a lot of things going on here. Very suspenseful book, very much an emotional roller coaster you're putting the that you're putting the readers on. So let's get into it. Give us the background here into Dark Ice.
All right. So Dark Ice is the fourth book in my Dan Reno series, the fourth out of five. The first book in the series is called Stateline, and that's for Stateline, Nevada. And that's right on the border of Nevada and California near Lake Tahoe. And that's where actually the main action of all my Dan Reno series, that's kind of the hometown, that's where they all take. The second book is called Dying of the High Life. The third is Speed Metal Blues. Dark Ice is the fourth. And then I just recently published Hard Prejudice, which is the fifth in the series. So it's Dan Reno is a no problemo. Everybody calls him Reno, but
gotcha.
You got that pronunciation issue. When I first wrote Stateline, I wanted to plot it as a traditional style murder mystery, meaning the novel begins with the discovery of a dead body, and then the investigation progresses from there. And so my inspiration for that was from many novels I've read in the past, you know, typical murder mysteries. It's somewhat of a formulaic approach that allows the story to start quickly and progress, you know, in a fairly linear manner. But, you know, I never outline my books. I write in an organic fashion, so I never know what will happen more than a scene or two in advance until I'm fairly deep into the novel, and then I figure out the conclusion and can write towards it. So Dark Ice ended up being very much a different story than I originally intended it to be. And for me, that's part of what makes the novel writing process interesting. It's a journey where I never quite know what will happen around each corner. About Dark Ice.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
No,
okay,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Finish up. I was just going to get into the character, but go into the book here. Keep going. Go into more of, because now that's, let me prompt this. Now that it's book four, but they're all kind of standalone books with, you know, there's always an underlying story that goes along with it. Of course, you follow Dan as he kind of goes through from one to five, now that we're into four. But just this book in particular, talk a little bit about the mystery. Talk a little bit about, you know, what have you thrown him into that the readers are going to see maybe different from one to three and now into four, or maybe some of the same.
Well, The central conflicts in Dark Ice involve not only Dan Reno's challenge in solving the murder and also dealing with a villainous gang of bikers that he's run afoul of, but different than the previous three books is he's now trying to manage his relationship with his girlfriend who's moved in with him. So this is a departure from the previous three novels where Reno didn't have any permanent romantic engagement. But now his girlfriend's living with him. And Reno's a guy who's torn between his desire to have a normal, stable type of life, but also his need to make a living in a profession that he's well-suited for, but also places him in situations that not only threaten his life, but potentially threaten his loved ones. And so, you know, there's a section of Dark Ice where, you know, Reno's enemies are targeting, you know, both him and his girlfriend. And so that's something that he has to deal with.
So would you say that, now you said that book five will be the last. Now, was there a reason behind why you wanted to only do five? Was it, let's kind of get into a little bit of that, because a lot of authors, of course, you know, maybe it's a trilogy and then they have that. But five seems kind of like a little of an odd number to be able to stop at. So what was the thought process behind that?
Well, I've got five written so far. And I'm actually...
Oh, so it can keep going. Okay, I get you.
Right. Yeah, actually, my goal is to keep writing in this series until I completely exhaust it. I kind of, you know, one of my favorite authors and my inspirations is James Lee Burke. And I'm not sure if you're...
Dave Robichaud.
Right. And so, you know, he's written those, you know, Dave Robichaud series novels. I think he's probably got about 20 of them. Maybe not that many, maybe at least 15 anyway.
Yeah, about like that. That's about right.
And so a lot of readers say, okay, well, by now Dave Robichaud must be about 80 years old, and so he's no longer a credible private detective, you know, going and getting in fist fights and shootouts and so on. But I look at probably doing another five novels with Dan Reno and his sidekick, Cody Gibbons.
Well, it was funny because when I interviewed James Lee Burke, and I talked to him about his book, The Wayfaring Stranger, that's kind of what he said was, you know, he was kind of looking to get out a little bit of Dave, but he knew he had to keep writing it because a lot of fans like it. But he does age him the way he's normal people age. So things do get a little bit older, things in that way. But he also likes to, you know, as an author, he likes to kind of jump out a little bit and do something a little bit different. So are you thinking of doing kind of, is Dan just going to be going and going until you say he's done? Or do you think maybe it's like, okay, after book five, I'm going to do something else, and then I'm going to kind of come back to him?
You know, I think I'll probably write at least two or three more Dan Reno, and then reassess there. To me, he's, as far as a character, there's still a lot of evolution for him to go through in following novels. And mm-hmm. So I haven't really given any thought to departing from Reno at this stage, but eventually I'm sure I'll get there.
Well, let's kind of take a look back. Well, okay, well, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, let's take a look back because I'm very familiar with State Line. I mean, I live in California. I've been up to Reno a couple times. Very gorgeous place. And so I kind of have an idea about where these things are set. But a lot of people don't have an understanding maybe of what Reno is. I mean, it's totally, if people know, and this is the best way I can always try to put it, is Los Angeles is a huge metropolitan city, very hippie, very, you know, going the whole nine yards of what L.A. is, glitzy, Hollywood, perfect for what Vegas is. San Francisco, on the other hand, is a little bit more, it's a huge city, but it's not quite as glitzy. It's a little bit more laid back, which is perfect for what Reno is, because Reno's not glitzy, glammy. So when you're looking at those settings in Reno in that kind of area, what kind of does the reader going to take out of that as being the setting as part of a character now?
Well, you know, I look at the setting of all the books I write is like a character in itself. And one of the reasons I was drawn to the Lake Tahoe area is it's right on the border of the mountainous Sierra landscapes that, you know, that they're studded with pine trees and, you know, the peak's going up to 10,000 feet, and then it immediately transitions to the high desert. So you have these two different environments, and, you know, I love the mountains. I've skied all my life. I've spent a lot of time in the mountains. But I also love the forlorn, kind of dangerous landscape of the open desert. And I've spent a lot of time in Nevada, in the outskirts of Las Vegas, and also, driving across Nevada on the loneliest road in the world, Highway 50. And to me, there's a real power to be drawn from just that sparse landscape. I'm particularly drawn to it because it's a dangerous place. You get out there on your own. There's no one around. You could die. And so, and the Dan Reno novels, he's always in dangerous situations, and I just like having that type of natural environment as part of the story.
Well, let's get into Dan a little. Yeah, go on.
Well, the other thing I was going to say is, I'm also influenced on that, where when I read James Lee Burke and listen to read his wonderful descriptions of what it's like in Louisiana and New Orleans, the Bayou country, I'm greatly inspired by that. And I think James Lee Burke in particular does a marvelous job of making the whole setting truly a character in all his novels.
That's true. And I think a lot of authors are starting to do the same thing, where they are using the setting as part of a character. And I find that very interesting. And I think that it gives more depth to the book. I think it gives more depth to the story in general. It makes it, behind every turn, you're not really sure what's going to happen. So I always like that. And I want to kind of get into Dan a little bit now, because now that he's in, book four, now you have five done. How do you think he's changed from Stateline now through Dark Ice? What are the readers going to see differently from the first three now into book four that he kind of, changed the character a little bit?
Well, and when I wrote Stateline, I wrote it at a time when I wrote the book about 15 years ago.
Wow.
And so it was a time when I was drinking heavily. And so if you read some of the reviews I have on Stateline, the negative reviews, and there's not a lot of them, but invariably when people have negative things to say, they'll go, Dan Reno just spends all his time drinking. I mean, there's no way somebody could function like that. The guy's a drunk. He's constantly in and out of bars and what have you. Admittedly, that was an extension of my personality at the time. Now, I'm not like that anymore. And so if you follow Reno's character, from book one to book five, he becomes progressively more sober. The other part of Reno that kind of this thread of his personality runs through all the books is his father was murdered when he was, I believe, 10 years old. And so that's haunted him, and been kind of this part of his personality where he feels that within his career he's got to wreak vengeance on those elements of society that he sees as criminal. And, he makes comments like, by this age I think I've outgrown that, or maybe not.
Now, you also said that Dark Eyes was a more of a traditional mystery. So this is going to be a book where readers are going to, see the murder at the beginning, and it's going to be clues kind of leading them up to eventually who has done the crime. Now, is this a little bit off kilter from your normal formula? Is this something that you wanted to experiment with as an author, that you decided, I wanted to try something maybe a little different, do something a little different, just to maybe expand yourself as an author and maybe see function and how it worked?
Well, yeah, and John, that's exactly right. When I wrote Stateline, that's a book I wrote in 90 days.
Wow.
And I just,
that's a record.
Well, yeah, I mean, admittedly, there was a lot of editing that had to happen afterwards, but the first draft I wrote in 90 days. And so I had no idea where that book was going. The words just kind of started pouring out of me, and then eventually I put structure to it and made it into a real novel. But after writing the first three, where none of them, you know, really follow the formulaic approach as far as a murder mystery, I kind of said, okay, let's have a little bit more of a structured approach. I'm not going to outline anything in this book in Dark Ice, but I'm going to start it off with the discovery of a dead body, and then, you know, the investigation will begin, you know, at that point. I mean, you know, part of what I do is I read a lot of crime novels, a lot of murder mysteries, what have you, stuff in that genre. And so, you know, I'm always kind of going, okay, you know, different authors do it different. And here's, you know, this seems to be a fairly typical approach. And so, you know, let's give it a try and see where it goes. You know, one of the things that happened in it is early in the story, I brought in a group of racist bikers. And I did that for no other reason, thought they would be some interesting characters to inject into the story, and let's see where it goes. And so they ended up playing a central role in it, and Reno expects that they're involved in the murder he's investigating, and, you know, there's good reason to believe that. But in the end, he not only has to solve the murder, but he has to deal with these bikers who, you know, have a vendetta against him, and they're not going to back off, so that needs to be resolved.
And now, when you were thinking of, and let's just take the antagonist in the story, when you're creating a villain like that, and when you're creating, you know, the overall bad person that's going to be the set of basically the story, because, you know, Dan is going to be moving through, but this person might only have a one snapshot and then they're done. What kind of development do you put into creating the villain? Are you looking for each time, does it have to be a little bit more sadistic, a little bit more cynical with each book? Or do you not really think about that? You just kind of create as the story folds?
You know, I mean, villains are a particular challenge for writers in the crime genre, because villains can seem like cardboard cutouts. They can become very stereotypical, very standard. And, you know, because there's only so many variations on a villain you can have, it would seem. And so, you know, I pay particular attention to villains and to try to draw interesting, full-rounded characters to the best of my ability. I think, you know, as Reno progresses through the books, he does mention in one of the books, and I can't remember which one, that killing is like anything else. With repetition, you kind of get calloused by it. And Reno has killed a fair share of guys, all justifiable, at least, you know, according to him, over the course of the books.
Gotcha. And so when he comes in from 1 to 4 into 5, you know, how have you think that you progressed as an author? How have you been able to grow yourself, that you feel that you've grown to yourself? Do you think that book one, when you kind of look back and read it, you're like, wow, you know, I can't believe that I've changed that much, and now that I'm 5 books in?
You know, not really. I mean, I think if I look at Stateline, you know, I think that book has as much depth as any of the others. I think that, you know, after you write a certain amount and you've gotten a certain amount of feedback, you gain a certain confidence and you go, okay, look, I know how to write fiction, good fiction, and you know, you have a good grasp of your characters, and you have a good grasp of plotting, and you can just make it all work.
And what was your goal coming into this crazy world of publishing? What were you trying to really accomplish, or was there anything? And you just, or did you just want to just basically just write and just get stories out, or did you have a goal? Did you have something that you wanted to accomplish?
Well, I mean, yeah, I you know, when I wrote that first book, and then I thought, oh my gosh, you know, so quickly I've written a novel. You know, this must be, you know, a sign from the heaven. This is my destiny. Mm-hmm. You know, and so let's go get an agent and let's go sign a big contract with a major publishing house and on to fame and fortune. And as you might guess, it for most it doesn't work that way.
Oh, I can guess. I'll probably be right.
Right. And so I did have a couple agents. And they were good agents that worked for reputable agencies, but time when they were trying to get the attention of, you know, a publishing house, the industry was changing, and you know, Barnes and Nobles were starting to close, and I think it was just becoming more and more of a difficult business proposition for any publishing house to take on, you know, a new author. And they were just choosing fewer and fewer, and they were really looking for mainstream type of authors that they could envision blockbuster potential. And so, you know, I write hard-boiled detective fiction. You know, and hard-boiled always cracks me up, because everybody, every time I say that to somebody, they go, what are you writing about, eggs? But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that hard-boiled is a very legitimate, and it's a primary category within Amazon. And so all my books are listed under the murder or the detective mystery primary category, and then beneath that it's hard boiled. And so
right, I always, you know, I always tell people when they say that, I go, have you ever heard of Mickey? Yeah, okay, there you go.
Bam. Right. Done. Well, I mean James Lee Burke, I consider his Dave Robichaux novels hard boiled. You know, it's about, I mean, there's elements of, you know, there's violence. There's bad guys. There's always some element of booze or drugs going on. Mm-hmm. There's always some racy women, usually somehow involved. You know, that's all the hard-boiled genre, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's free of the technology. I like the ones that are free of all the technology. I like the ones where it's like the Mike Hammer. You know, he has to hit the ground running. He has to see people face to face. He has to look at them. He has to talk with them. He doesn't get a technology, doesn't have a cell phone, doesn't have the internet, doesn't have DNA and all this other stuff that comes right to his phone. I think that's what I like a lot. I'm not a big technology guru in books to where, you know, somebody pushes a button and then boom, there's the answer. And then it's like solved after the buildup of all this suspense. And it's like, that's what you give me. So I think, you know, and I kind of feel cheated sometimes. I think when authors do that to you, it's like, you had no idea what to do, did you? And so you just push the button and figure it out. And so that's what I like, the hard-boiled, and that's why I like the noir, because it's about the character. It's not about the technology that they have with them.
Well, you know, it's funny when you talk about technology. I mentioned I wrote Stateline 15 years ago, and during that time, cell phones weren't ubiquitous at that time. And so Dan Reno, you know, who is down on his luck financially, did not have a cell phone. Now, eventually, I rewrote it, you know, to kind of modernize it. Okay, so the guy's got a cell phone now. So it doesn't seem like the novel's so dated. But, I agree with you. I mean, I like to leave technology out of it as much as possible.
Yeah, I love watching the first couple seasons, you know, first five, six seasons of Law & Order, and see them having to go to a payphone to call back to the precinct. I always chuckle when I see that. I go, that's just hilarious. You know, they actually have to find a payphone in New York City that works and call back to the precinct to try to find out information because they're out. You know, they're out. There's no way to contact. So I always find that funny. But you know, we got about a minute left here, and what I want to do is I want to kind of give you the last, you know, your website and social media and all the places that they can find you and get the book and everything else. So I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. My website is danrenonovels.com, just one word, danrenonovels.com. And so you can look at all sorts of information there on all my novels. And then I'm also on all of my novels are on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon and search Dave Stanton, you'll come to my author page and see all my stuff there. So that's the easiest way to become aware of what I'm looking for or what I'm writing. And also, for anybody that's interested in getting updates on what I'm doing, you can subscribe on my website. And about once a month, I'll send out a little email and do a few updates.
Well, Dan, I'll tell you what. I want to thank. Oh, I'm sorry. I just called you Dan, like you're your character. But Dave, I want to thank you so much for coming on. Good luck on the tour. Hope everything goes well with Partners in Crime. They are a great organization. And hey, wish you nothing but the best with the book. And looking forward to seeing what you got coming out in 5, and then 6, and then 7, and seeing how everything progresses. Keep writing.
Well, great, John. I appreciate it. And thanks a lot.
All right, you have a good one.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye. So everybody, that is author Dave Stanton, and the book is called Dark Ice. It is the fourth book in his Dan Reno series, which you can see now, and you can go to danrenonovels.com, R-E-N-O-novels.com, for more information on just not the book Dark Ice, but the whole series that he has out, including book 5, Hard Prejudice. Go to Amazon.com for more information, of course. The best place to go and find books, and you can buy them all right now. And if you have any questions, you can always email us here at editor@suspensemagazine.com. And we want to thank you all again for joining us here on the show. And remember, check out suspenseradionetwork.com for more information. Suspense Magazine, the latest issue is out. We are now going to start compiling. We're getting it ready. We know it's September, but we're just doing it early. We're starting to get together our best of stuff that will be coming here at the end of the year. So if you have any suggestions or anything you want us to look at, we're always on the lookout. We got about 12 or 15 different categories that we rate these books in. And, of course, one book is going to get the Crimson Scribe Award, and we're excited to see how that all plays out. So we are starting to work on all that now. Well, it's always been fabulous to talk to everybody. I want to thank you again all for joining us, and we will see you all next time. Keep reading.